Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Coming up later, St Albans' first ever vegan fair. We'll be finding out all about it. But first, we've covered proposed expansion at Luton Airport on this show before, but the consultation on this expansion closes shortly and local campaign group St Albans Quieter Skies wants to encourage as many of us as possible to have our say. I spoke to Nigel Green of St Albans Quieter Skies to find out more. Nigel, thank you for joining me. So just remind us, what is being proposed at Luton Airport?
Luton Airport are responding to a call from the government to make better use of existing capacity from airports around the UK, and they've put forward a planning application, or will be putting forward a planning application, to expand to 36 or 38 million passengers a year between 2020 and 2050.
And what are current passenger figures?
Last year there was just under 16 million passengers went through the airport. We're only part way through an existing planning application that was supposed to last until 2028.
Okay, so it's proposing over doubling of last year's figures. So
that's a
big amount, isn't it? So you said that do they actually have permission for this expansion? Is this definitely going ahead?
No, it's not definitely going ahead. All of the airports in southern England are putting forward planning applications for further growth. If they all get what they want, there will be very significant overcapacity.
Right. OK, so it's really looking at where this capacity will be apportioned. So, you say the government is asking for more airport capacity. What are your concerns?
Well, we have a number of concerns. First of all, we're only partway through the last round of expansion, and the promises that were made in order to mitigate the noise that we experience from that haven't yet been met. This is, we talk about a doubling of passengers, so we can talk about a near doubling of flights. There are, at the moment, no new flight paths proposed, so if you happen to live under a flight path, we're talking about twice as many aeroplanes in the sky.
OK, and how about the effect on the ground, as it were?
The effect on the ground, one of the main concerns is surface access from the roads. Only 32% of passengers using Luton Airport use public transport, and so there's... I really can't stress enough the effect that Luton Airport has on our local road system.
Yeah. Of course, a lot of people might go via the M1, but we all know as soon as the M1's broken, the traffic floods through St Albans, doesn't it? And, of course, the trains also?
Absolutely. Our trains are heaving at capacity at the moment, and yet Luton Airport wants to have some exclusive use of new trains on the Thames Link line so that they can claim to have the equivalent of the Stansted Express or the Gatwick Express, but going in and out of London from Gatwick Airport.
So this, of course, will make even more pressure on already hard-pressed rail services. Now, some people will have just flown from Luton Airport on holiday and they might be feeling quite positive about the service that it provides, but what would you say to them?
Good luck to them, really. I don't have any argument with passengers choosing to fly from Luton. Many passengers fly from Luton because it's very competitive price-wise, and this sucks people in from all over southern England. But there is a balance that our government has to strike. This really shouldn't be aviation growth at any cost, because those passengers are taking pound notes out of the country and spending them overseas. So straight away, the government is losing out the VAT on the money that would otherwise have been spent in the UK. And also, it's costing us jobs when people go overseas to spend their pounds in restaurants and gift shops overseas. that money could be spent in the UK.
OK, so you're concerned about the holiday pound being spent abroad rather than in this country. Now, I've taken a quick look at the consultation. It's quite easy to find. A quick search for Luton Airport consultation will take you there. But, Nigel, can you give us any tips for filling it in?
One of the most important things I would say is don't tick any boxes that you are not entirely happy with. Make full use of the text boxes to say what you really think. This consultation it's a non-statutory consultation. It's a harvesting exercise in order to obtain numbers that can be used in the full planning application, you know, i.e. 80-odd percent of our respondents might have supported our view that, and so on. It doesn't start with the obvious question, do you think this is a good idea that we expand Luton Airport to 38 million passengers a year? Or even, do you think we should wait until the current round of expansion has been completed before we expand further?
Okay, so you feel that people, if they use the comments boxes, they could express that view if they felt like that. I mean, obviously, they can, if they wish to support the expansion, that, of course, is there for them as well.
Absolutely it is, yes.
Yeah. OK. I would say that one of the nice things about the consultation is that you don't have to fill in all the boxes, you don't have to do all the ticking things. So if you don't have much time, you really can just say what's important to you, can't you?
Absolutely. A lot of it is quite irrelevant. Do we really care where the new terminal is situated within the airport boundaries? Not really.
Not if we're from St Albans. Obviously, these are issues that may be more important for people living a little closer, mightn't they? But as you say, still plenty of space for valid views from St Albans. So the time for taking part in this consultation is running out. How long do we have? When do we have until?
We have until the end of the month, 31st of August.
Right, OK. And you'd encourage us to take part and give our views whatever they are?
I would encourage everybody to take part, but be as selective as they wish on what they complete.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that advice and for coming in today.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Nigel Green from St Albans Quieter Skies, and you will need to get your skates on if you wish to respond to Luton Airport's consultation. As I say, very easy to find. Just search for Luton Airport consultation. Now, this Bank Holiday Monday, Westminster Lodge in Verulamium Park will host St Albans' first ever vegan fair. What's that all about? Well, I spoke to organiser Vente Vitikaita to find out more. Vente, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So, veganism seems to be rocketing in popularity. Just remind us of the benefits of being vegan for both you and for the planet.
So, there are several reasons to choose veganism. And one is, of course, ethics and not willing to use for your own benefits other live creatures, and then health benefits. So even the World Health Organization, and mainly all of the main health and nutrition organizations in the world, they say that vegan diet, plant-based diet, is more healthy than the diet involving meat.
Absolutely.
And then there is, of course, the environmental issues, that basically intensive agriculture is one of the main reasons of the, damage made to the nature. Not one of the main, it's actually the main. It does more damage than all the transportation and production together. And lots of things, pollution, waste of water, waste of land,
greenhouse gases.
Yes, exactly. So lots of things are related to the agriculture, and especially animal agriculture.
Yeah. So actually, eating less meat and basing your diet on on plant-based products is a great way to help all of those things. Fabulous.
Exactly.
So we are at the vegan fair. Why do we need a vegan fair? Apart from the fact it's hopefully going to be fun, but...
Yeah. Vegan fair is basically to introduce people to show the society how much of an abundance is in a plant diet, how delicious are plant-based meals, and how big the choice is. And because a lot of people think that, oh, like, if we become vegans, our food choices will be so limited. But no, because there are 80,000 edible plants in the world.
Yep.
And only, like, I don't know, like...
So much, isn't
so
there?
So few edible animals.
Yes.
So the variety is actually bigger. And once people become vegans, they say that they eat like more, that there is more variety in the menu, and that they also eat more deliciously.
Yeah, indeed. It perhaps encourages them to be a little bit more adventurous as well.
So this is, yes, the event is basically to show how much options there are, and also to show how delicious things can be, and also to kind of encourage vegan businesses. And to this event is where I invited as many local businesses as possible, so basically for the local businesses to meet the local community and to
it sounds all great stuff. Is it just food, though? You've mentioned food things.
It's
there.
A food festival, so it's mainly food, but we also have skincare products, books, jewelry, accessories, clothes, drinks. We'll have vegan wine and gin and juice.
Oh, sounding even better.
And we'll also have a couple of stalls which are actually selling sustainable... tableware, dishes, cutlery, containers.
Okay.
So, like, a bit of a zero waste movement.
Yeah, so a whole variety of things to be browsing there. So, I mean, obviously, if you're vegan, there's a great reasons to come along. You'll, you know, be able to sort of, as you say, get in touch with local businesses and things like that, and a whole lovely selection of food that you can eat. But how about if you aren't vegan? Why should you go along?
It's still, I mean, to taste the great foods, and doesn't matter if you are not vegan, the food still tastes great. And also, yes, maybe to try some healthier options or to try new things, because it's like a lot of things which maybe... Like people on a regular diet, on a usual diet, yeah, haven't even tried before. So it's also a good chance to try some new things.
Wonderful.
And just to spend a good day. It's a very friendly event. We invite everyone.
Yes.
It's a very good, positive atmosphere at the event. And families are welcome. There will be also choices for, you know, for children. We'll have gluten-free, sugar-free food. So it's just a nice day, a nice event to spend with family or friends or by yourself.
Yeah, indeed. So just remind us, Amanda, of the time and the place.
So it's 27th of August, Bank Holiday Monday, yeah. Westminster Lodge Leisure Centre. We start at 10 a.m. and it's until 4 p.m. and the entrance is £3.
Lovely. So you could combine that with a little walk around the park, and that sounds like a lovely way to spend your bank holiday, doesn't it?
I just checked the weather, so it looks like it's a nice weather. So you can also take your food and go to the park and have a small picnic.
Lovely.
We'll have stalls both indoors and outdoors.
Okay.
And
it sounds like a fantastic event. We wish you all the best, and let's hope this is the first of many. Venti, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you.
I was talking there to Ventir Vitikaita, organiser of St Albans' first ever vegan fair. And of course in St Albans we are lucky enough to have a growing number of independent vegan eateries locally. You might like to check out the Green Kitchen on at the Oaklands end of Hatfield Road. There's the Wellness Cafe, that's also on Hatfield Road, but that's closer to Fleetville. And there's the recently opened No Moo Moo in Heritage Close between Lusman's and the Abbey. Great to see them all opened and deserving of your support. Anyway, this week's National Open Garden is 8 Kingcroft in Harpenden. It's the garden of local garden writer and editor Zia Alloway. It's a lovely garden. It's open on Monday the 27th, and that's 2 till 6. And then on Friday, it's open in the evening. So that's on Friday the 31st. That's open from 5 till 8. It's a lovely mature town garden. So it's only small. It's just like a lot of the houses in the middle of St. Albans, nice little terraced house. It's not terraced, it's semi-detached, but similar sort of thing. Anyway, beautiful, mature, contemporary informal style. It's got a little pond with a pebble beach, gravel garden, wide range of summer bulbs, herbaceous perennials and shrubs, trees, etc. Shows how you can use quite a small space really very well, actually. She's even got a greenhouse in there. And then she's got another little courtyard with flower-filled window boxes and also vegetables and things like that as well. So good way to see also how you can fit a bit of vegetable growing really quite beautifully into a small space like that. And as I say, that's 8 Kingcroft, Monday from 2 till 6 or Friday the 31st from 5 till 8. Also coming up is the Earthworks Summer Fair. That's on the 1st of September between 12 and 4. Beautiful garden, of course, at Earthworks on Hicksbury Lane to go and look round. All organic as well. There's going to be stalls. There's going to be lots of food and refreshments and things and entertainment as well. So that's another lovely afternoon out there at Earthworks for their fair on the 1st of September. Now, lots of you are already listening to Environment Matters podcast, but plenty of you aren't doing. You can listen now to any edition of Environment Matters by going to www.radioverola.com/podcasts, and you can subscribe to the weekly Environment Matters podcast through your favourite podcast provider. Do follow us on Twitter as well, @RV_environment, and we're on Facebook as well. Or if you've got any ideas about shows you'd like to hear, things you'd like us to cover, then drop me a line at amanda@radioverulam.com. I'm going to be back at the same time next week. Until then, thank you for listening.